Well, hello again, brothers and sisters. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Going back into our study today of the letter S, study number 19B, our third study in the letter S in the ABC series. And we're going to begin by talking about what we last went over. And our last recording, our last lesson, sins which are the works of the flesh. And of course, what we talked about before concerning how the scriptures say so much about sin. Did you know that the scriptures talk so much about sin? And I sure did until I started doing this study and finding out just how many different times the Lord mentions sin. And the Apostle Paul and just about all the apostles talked about sin, the writers of the scriptures talked about sins one way or another. God the Holy Ghost had them record something about it. And I never realized that before because I really didn't want to get in the scriptures. And every time I went across something that said something about sin and I read it and I took it in and chewed it up and swallowed it, but I didn't like it. So, you know, it wasn't something that I ran to. But going over this study and finding out there is a tremendous amount of scripture talking about sin. And that is the title of our lesson, Sin. And what it is, what the scriptures say about it, we itemize it. We go down through there. We find out what the Lord, the itemized sins that the Lord brings out in every situation, like the works of the flesh. What are the sins of the works of the flesh? Well, we went over that last lesson, remember? And today we're going over another topic, the sins that are the walk of the unsaved. Well, you know, these could be compared to the flesh because the unsaved do walk in the flesh. That's all they can walk in because they don't have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in them and they haven't been born again. But the sins of the walk of the unsaved, there are several that are different in this category. And I don't know exactly why the Lord brought this about, but he did, and he said to study and to rightly divide the word of truth. And that's what we're doing right here. We're actually dividing every sin and what the scripture says in the context. And why the Lord decided to put all these different sins and some of the same sins in a whole bunch of different categories, I don't know. Maybe because he was talking, we get in the scriptures and you might want to get in the scriptures and find out, what sins do I need to be concerned about now as a Christian? Well, you can go to that because the scriptures say specifically talking about sins of the Christian. If you want to talk about the sins of the unsaved, you can do that. We're going to go over those as soon as we get going here. So you see, this matter is something that the Lord chose to do with these sins and putting in there, and we're going over them to honor the Lord and honor His Word. And to find out for ourselves and rightly divide this matter of sin. And just see what the Lord says. So getting into our study today, sins that are the walk of the unsaved. Okay, now this is not talking to us, the Christians, even though we might identify with some of these sins. But we are born again. We are not sinners. Now get this right now. We're not classified in God's mind, in God's eyes, as sinners anymore. We are saints that sin. You see, big difference. And you need to get that right. Once you're born again, you're in God's family. You are no longer the enemy of God. The wrath of God no longer abides on you. You've been born again, and you're in God's family. You are a son of God. And you don't have to worry about God's wrath being on you, and you don't have to worry about being one that the walk of the unsaved. This is not, this portion of Scripture here is not talking to Christians. It's talking about the walk of the unsaved. Ephesians chapter 4, and we've read these scriptures before, but we're going to keep on reading them until we memorize these things, right? We'll have them down. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk, talking about the unsaved, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. These are the ones that have rejected Christ and rejected the gospel. They're unsaved, and they get pleasure in sin, and they get pleasure in those that sin just like them. They enjoy sin. They want sin. They really mock God's word and mock the things of God and mock the scriptures. And this is what these type of this type of crowd, as the Gentiles walk, he's telling us as Christians and testifying in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. And he's talking to Christians there, but he's describing the unsaved. And he's describing the sins that they walk in and telling us that we need to not walk in these things that the unsaved. Well, what are we talking about? Well, first he said the vanity of their mind. The vanity of their mind. You see, there's a difference right there in the unsaved and the saved. Whenever you're unsaved, you can't think the things of God, because remember, we went over the kingdom of God, and that's the spiritual things. You don't have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you to teach you. He is our teacher, and he teaches us the spiritual things and spiritual truths. And you walk in the vanity of your mind. It's empty. It's empty concerning spirituality. It doesn't have, there's no fruit or anything that's profitable about the what an unsaved person thinks about. It might be profitable down here on earth and tangible for his bank account, or might be whatever, but anything an unsaved person is thinking is vain. It's vain. Unless he's thinking about God and thinking about coming to the Lord. The only thing that matters in our thinking process is when God the Holy Spirit gets in, starts teaching us the things of God, and we bear fruit for the Lord and start thinking on these things. The Bible says whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. An unsaved person can't think these things, you see. They walk in the vanity of their mind. These are sins that are the walk of the unsaved. Their minds are empty. They lack substance to satisfy spiritual desire, or they don't have any spiritual desire. It's uncertain. Fruitless desire or endeavor. It's vain. Vain pursuit. Idle show. They might put on a show of spirituality, but they can't think honestly and truthfully because they don't have any substance of spirituality in them. Arrogant, inflation of the mind upon slight grounds. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 2, Solomon spoke of this, and he said it several times, and Ecclesiastes is an excellent book when it comes to what's important in life and what's not. It's one of my favorites, and I read it over and over, but every time you read it, you find out something true about your life in the body down here on this earth without God and thinking that there's something profitable about it. Ecclesiastes 1:2 says, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Now, this is coming from a guy that God give the most wisdom to that ever a man's going to have. And what he became wise concerning was everything's vanity. He tried everything that a man could try to please himself and try to get something out of it. And guess what? It all became vanity. And his wisdom, God's wisdom, showed him that it's worthless without the Lord. And it is the vanity of their mind. That is a sin. It's a sin to walk around being vain in your thinking. You need to get saved. It's a sin not to be saved, rejecting Jesus Christ. But the vanity of their mind, that's what Paul said in Ephesians 4 we just read, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in there because of the blindness of their heart. And they walk in the vanity of their mind. What else? Well, talking about sins that are the walk of the unsaved, their understanding is darkened. That's what Paul said, remember? He said, as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. How? Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. The understanding darkened. They're deprived of light. They don't have any light. The scriptures say that, talking to the born-again people, us, that we are children of light. He said, walk in light. He said that we're no longer the children of darkness. We're the children of light. Walk as children of light. You see, unsaved people do not have light. They're in darkness spiritually, wandering about in this world without God. And that's why soul winning and being concerned for their soul is important because, and the Lord tells us to let our lights shine in this dark world. In other words, walk in the Spirit. So your light will shine, so the Lord will shine through you, and when you walk by somebody that's in spiritual darkness, they'll get a vision of light off of you, and it'll draw them to the Lord. You see, their understanding darkened, it's obscured, it's dim, it's black, and it makes them ignorant. Not stupid, ignorant, without knowledge. They don't have any spiritual knowledge. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 5 says, O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. And then in verse 10:13 it says, In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. The Lord divides that. There's polarities there. You either understand or you don't. You have light or you're in darkness, one or the other. That's what the world's trying to do. You hear about the world and this let's all get together stuff and the far left and the far right all get together and we just make a big pool of gray matter. Well, what do they mean by gray? Because light and darkness put together grays everything out, you see. It's not really spiritual, and it's not really not spiritual. It kind of just confuses everything. But the Lord doesn't want us in that mess either. Their understanding is darkened. What else? Well, they're alienated from God. Alienated from God. Can you imagine that? What if the Lord, probably one of the worst things for a Christian to imagine is that once you're born again, that you would be separated from the Lord. But the Lord promises us that he'll never leave us or forsake us, and sometimes it feels like we're alone and that God is silent and he won't talk to us. And that's for learning reasons and so on, and what the Lord's will is for us to grow and matters like that. But alienated from God. What's that mean? To estrange, to withdraw from, to make indifferent or averse, where love or friendship before subsisted. to alienate the heart or affections, be a stranger to, alienated from God. They have their little gods they set up and these idols, but they don't. These things are dead. They're worthless. They're vain. They can't talk to a stone. They can't pray to a stone. They can pretend to, but that stone, they don't never get any satisfaction or any kind of friendship or anything that matters or helps their understanding or helps their lives or helps their conscience or helps their feelings or anything personal. Our God is a living God. He's alive. He dwells in us. And He literally helps us. And you can be, and you can know that He helps you. Can any of you say, I know without a shadow of a doubt that God has Himself, personally, has helped me, and I identified with it when He did it? Of course you can. I can too. I can too. The Lord has been very kind to me, and it makes me draw closer to Him. Sometimes He's been so kind to me when I least deserved it. Yeah, and you too. Because He is a wonderful God to us. He's our Father. He's our Father. What else? We're talking about the unsaved, the walk of the unsaved, the sins that are the walk of the unsaved. A vanity of their mind, their understanding is darkened, they're alienated from God. What else? Well, they're ignorant. He said, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. What is ignorance? Well, it's a lack of something. It's a want, absence or destitution of knowledge, willfully or unwillfully. And the unsaved get light that passes through them or passes by them, like when somebody comes to soul win and comes to tell you about Jesus Christ and they're unsaved, they're listening to something that's strange and foreign to them. This is light, and they're in darkness, and they can either reject it or receive it. And if they receive it, they get more and more and more, and they can receive the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior, and God the Holy Ghost moves in, and now they're children of light, a child of light. But the ignorance that's in them, they don't know anything about it. You can ask anybody that's unsaved about God, and they can tell you a roundabout what they've heard and the knowledge that they've learned in the world about a God, but they have nothing to say about a person, God Himself, that you have a relationship with. They're ignorant. They're ignorant. What else? Well, the blindness of their heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The ignorance, the blindness of their heart. What is that? Lack of truth? No sight for that which is right. They willfully or unwillfully, unwilling to let their heart be moved to the Lord and the things of God. And the Bible talks of it as hardening the heart. The Lord spoke to many people, even Pharaoh when Moses was giving him warning that God was going to do this. And the Lord said that he hardened his heart. He was going to do it anyway, so the Lord just used him. He hardened his heart. He didn't want what was right. He didn't want the truth. That's when Pilate was talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Life. And Pilate said, what is truth? And turned around and walked away. He didn't care. Blindness of his heart. What else? Well, past feeling. I can't feel anymore. You know, back 40, 50 years ago, There's a big difference between 1960 and 1970 concerning morality in society and feeling, being able to feel and being able to empathize and be able to sympathize and being able to care versus 2023. You agree with that? You ought to, because it's true. Past feeling. Nowadays, you can see it in society. They can't even feel anymore. Anybody can take a young child, two children of your own that belong to you, and put them in car seats and lock them down in their car seats, roll the windows down, and push the car into a river and drown your own children for a relationship with another man. Is past feeling, brother, sister. Anybody can take a child and hold it by its ankles, an infant, and draw it back and hit it against a dumpster and bash its brains out. And don't you think that stuff doesn't go on? Because it is. And it has before, but it's opening out of the closet now. Past feeling, hard-hearted, calloused. No concern for the truth. They're seared with a hot iron. They can't feel anymore. You know, you take an iron and put it on your forearm and when it's real just sizzling hot and put it down on your skin and hold it there for a minute and it'll burn that flesh like crazy. And then you take it off and after all the healing's done and the pain's gone, you reach down there to touch it and you'll never feel it again. It's seared with a hot iron. It's dead. It's calloused. There's no feeling in it. And this is one of the sins of the walk of the unsaved. They've hardened their hearts against God and the things of God and against light, and they don't want nothing to do with it. And they distance themselves so far away from light and being able to have an opportunity to come to the light, they on purpose distance themselves. They're past feeling, and they get past feeling, hard-hearted. And Paul said, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the Gentiles walk." In other words, you want to know what God says. You want to be very sensitive to what God the Holy Ghost says to you. I want to hear every word He says to me, even when He corrects me. I want to hear every word He talks to me and learn to know His voice, because the enemy tries to replicate it all the time. Sometimes you don't know whether it's the Lord or the devil talking to you. You have to get in the Scriptures to find out. And God speaks to us through His Word, mostly. But God the Holy Ghost speaks to us also. Past feeling. The Lord doesn't speak to the unsaved, with the exception of what He might have a purpose for using them for, or something like that. But as far as talking to them in a relationship and things like that, His wrath is upon them. What else? Well, the seventh thing that Paul mentioned there is lasciviousness. We talked about what that was, looseness, and it just gets worse and worse and worse, and you just become like an animal. Irregular indulgence of animal desires. Remember that? Wantonness, lustfulness, tendency to excite lust. And that's what the projects of the society now are designed to do, is to excite lust. All your commercials, all your television, all the things that any news station or movie station or studios or movie makers or anything like that is one way or another to excite lust and promote indulgences. That's a sin. These are sins that are the walk how they walk, how they live their lives, their conversation, how their lives are of the unsaved. What else? Well, let me read this verse here, Ephesians 4, and verse 17 and 19 again. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. Man, talk about being ruined, understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling, there's callousness, there's hard-heartedness, have given themselves over. In other words, they chose this, given themselves over unto lasciviousness. Just want to become as filthy as I can. I don't want any God in me at all, or God's law, or God's rules, or anything about God. I don't want to think about God. Lasciviousness, to work all, and that's the next one, uncleanness. Remember we talked about uncleanness under some of the other topics? Foulness, dirtiness, filthiness, just living an immoral, impure, defiled life, sinful life. And that's where Ezekiel chapter 36 and Colossians chapter 3 and 2 Peter chapter 2 come in. And then the last one under this, the last sin that's listed, that Paul listed under this matter of the unsaved, walking as the unsaved, is greediness. And boy, isn't that something that's open and out and taught. They have classes on how to be greedy. Yeah. It's not titled greediness. It's titled something else, like how to, what would you say? How to get ahead. How to outdo the competition. Greediness. What is greediness? It's a keenness of appetite. Ravenous. Voracity. An habitual regard for wanting, being greedy and having the most. It's an ardent desire. Greediness. The Lord said for us to be content, having food and raiment, to be content with such things as we have. And, man, you talk about having a yoke off of you. Pay them bills off and live out of debt. And don't let this world talk you into getting up under that yoke again. Get yourself out of debt and live not owing any man, like the Bible says. All right, so those are the sins that the Scriptures, that God the Holy Ghost has shown us in the category of the walk of the unsaved. Ephesians chapter 4. All right, moving right along, here's another category concerning this study of sin. Sins which Christians, here we go, this is me and you, must put away. Now this is something, this is a list of sins that is described in the Scriptures, not just happenstance, you happen to come across it and read it. It's specifically put in there for the purpose of saying to the Christian, put it away. Now, some of these sins we've already talked about, but these here are specifically mentioned and itemized to the Christian that must put them away. Now, there's a reason that God the Holy Ghost had these writers, had these men to write these things in the way that they did, and it should matter to us. And that's what's making this sin study so lengthy. I didn't realize this thing was going to be this lengthy. or that sin was mentioned in God's Word as much as it is until I got into looking at it. Listen to this, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25 through 32. Listen to what the Scripture says. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So that tells you who he's talking about. He's talking about us. We're members of the body of Jesus Christ. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed. That nails down who he's talking to about these sins. Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. There's no unsaved person that's sealed with God the Holy Ghost, especially until the day of redemption. They're not redeemed. And they're not going to be redeemed unless they receive Jesus Christ and believe on him. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. There it is. That's a commandment. Be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You see who he's talking to? Now, when we was talking about the unsaved, walking in darkness and blindness of their heart and the ignorance that's in them, this is a completely different scenario. You see why it's so important to read the topics and the itemized sins that are under them? And you see that difference? Yeah. This one here, this list of sins here, are not laid out in the same fashion as the ones to the unsaved. Whole different thing. You see that? That's why we're doing it the way we're doing it. Besides just honoring the Lord and honoring His Word. Let's go over these sins. Sins which Christian must put away. First thing is lying. If you're a Christian, y'all not be lying. And I shouldn't be lying. And the problem is the Bible says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. It's controlling that mouth and controlling that tongue. And that is one of the hardest things in the world to do, being born again. Especially in today's society, as loose as everybody's tongue is. And then finding ways of what you can say and what you can't say. The fact of the matter is that God said study to be quiet. A Christian shouldn't worry about what he can say and what he can't say. He ought to worry about keeping quiet. And studying to be quiet. Isn't that funny how the Lord described that? No teacher, no professor, no college education scientist, psychologist, psychiatric. None of them come up with that kind of quote. Study to be quiet. And isn't it funny you have to study at it? Not funny, but peculiar. Put away lying. What is lying? Well, it's telling falsehood. The deliberate act of deviating from the truth. You do it on purpose. You don't tell the truth on purpose. He said, put it away. And we have to practice that. And one way, especially with me, I mean, any of y'all and myself have a conversation more than about 15 minutes, we're going to be in danger of one of us lying. If we yap to one another more than about 15 minutes without studying to be quiet and hushing our mouths up and not saying what's not necessary, or not saying anything but what is necessary, and just sitting there yapping and yapping and yapping, one of us is going to lie. Yeah. Listen to yourself when you're talking to people every now and then. We got to be careful. We're liars. The Bible says we're born liars. We come out of the womb lying. You find another book on this planet that says something like that about somebody. There's not another book on this planet that says that a human being comes out of the womb being a liar. And even if they knew the truth, no author would publish that except someone that wanted you to know that who you are and how you are and what you are and who they are that's telling you, the Lord, telling you the truth in the Word of God. Put away lying. What else? Well, what are we talking about? We're talking about sin. We're talking about specifically sins which Christians must put away. Put away lying. What else? Put away stealing. What's stealing? Taking the goods of another feloniously. Withdrawing imperceptibly. Nobody knows you're taking it. You don't tell anybody. You don't ask anything. You take something that doesn't belong to you in a felonious way. You know that if somebody knew that it would be wrong and they would think it was wrong, you do it without anybody knowing about it. That's stealing. I mean, just the bottom line, every one of us knows what stealing is. And whether it be any kind of stealing, stealing time off the clock from your employer, stealing, we're supposed to just be provide things honest in the sight of all men. Brothers and sisters, we ought not steal. Quit stealing. Put it away. You say Christians steal? Go look in the mirror. If we don't listen to God the Holy Ghost and we walk in the flesh, yeah, you're going to steal. You'll be tempted to steal. If the devil knows you used to be a thief, he's going to tempt you with that. Well, nobody knows about it. And, well, you know, I mean, it's just sitting there. I'll tell you something. When I'm riding down the road, and you see something that's blown out of somebody's trailer or something like that on the side of the road, or maybe you're walking down the sidewalk and you find a billfold, or just anything like that. I had to train myself to change my thinking, and I've just about got it. That's the first thing that'll come to my mind when I see something. You're riding down the road and you see some kind of expensive piece of equipment, like maybe one of the lawn crews dropped a weed eater or something like that, or you see it on the side of the road, and the very first thing you think about is what? Is what your heart's made of. And what you whether you're obeying the Lord concerning stealing. But I used to think, man, I didn't pull over and get that. But I changed my mind. The Holy Ghost reprimanded me on that, and He says, "Well, what if somebody's coming back to get it?" And I thought, "You're right, Lord. That would be stealing." So I started training myself. Every time I see something on the side of the road, rather than picking it up, I say, somebody's coming back to get that. And I just about got it down now. But if I did stop and get it, I mean, if you dropped a weed eater and you got somewhere and found out that you dropped it, what would be the first thing you did? You'd think to yourself, man, I hope nobody's picked that up. What do you mean? I hope nobody steals that from me. And you go back to get it. Of course they're going to come back and get it. So if you pick it up, it's stealing. But we make all kind of excuses for our stealing. Losers, weepers, finders, keepers. No. That's stealing. Put it away. Lying, stealing, what else? Well, corrupt communication. To change the way you live and the way you talk and the way you communicate from good to bad. It's corrupt. It's defiled. It's polluted. You lose the purity of your speech. You know, one thing, everybody talks about the old-fashioned way the scriptures in the King James Bible is written and how old-fashioned it is. It's not old-fashioned. It's when English was at its most beautiful. Back when the scriptures were written is when people enjoyed talking to one another because it was like a work of art in conversation. When people heard other people talk and when you spoke to other people, it edified people. It made them want to hear more of what you want to say. There was no corruption in it. It was beautiful. I'm thinking it's Elizabethan English. And then people would talk to one another and they would actually enjoy the conversation because it was edifying your heart and it was lifting you up, and just talking to one another and hearing the language and hearing it being spoken was beautiful. And that's when your Bible was being written. It's not old-fashioned. It's when English was at its most beautiful. Is it different in society now? If somebody wrote a Bible in society's communication today, what would it sound like? Are you kidding me? Corrupt communication, the Bible says, put it away. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53 says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. What does that mean? It means that when you talk and you communicate, that when you're finished, somebody wants to hear you talk again because of the good language and the good conversation and the good words and the edifying. You make people better by what you say. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. People get grace off of your words, not offense, and not filthiness, and not foolish thoughts and unclean thoughts of the pictures you're painting with your words. Corrupt communication. The Lord very mercifully and kindly tells us to put it away. What else? Bitterness. Put away bitterness. This is to the Christian. Bitterness. Stop carrying around bitterness. If you're bitter about something, figure out a way to settle that thing and get that bitterness out of your life. Sometimes it takes years and years to get rid of bitterness, and sometimes people live 70, 80 years with it and die with it. Bitterness. Extreme enmity, a grudge, severity of temper, sarcasm, biting sarcasm. Acts chapter 8 and verse 23 says, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Bitterness ties you up. It holds you, it binds you. It's like ropes and chains on you. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15 says, look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness defiles you. Put it away. If you say, well, you don't understand, brother, you just don't understand about this bitterness. Listen, if you got some bitterness in you that you can't get rid of yourself, and you've been praying about it, ask God to give you somebody to talk to, like your pastor or an elder that you trust, somebody that's been walking with the Lord that you know is faithful and knows the book, knows the scriptures, that you could sit down and open up honestly about that matter, and they can help you to rid yourself of it, but put it away. Don't carry that mess no more. It defiles you. What else? Not only lying, stealing, corrupt communication, and bitterness, but wrath. The Bible never condemns you for being angry. You say, well, it said, be not angry. Yeah, but you didn't finish the verse. It said, to be not angry, it said, and sin not. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, not your anger. You can be mad about things. Sure, we get mad about things. Righteous indignation is being mad. You see, somebody blasphemes God's name and makes fun of Jesus Christ and says some nasty, defiling, ungodly things about your Savior. You ought to get mad about that. That ought to make you mad. But if your anger gets to the point to where you lose control of it and it turns into wrath and turns violent, that's what we need to put away. It said, be ye angry and sin not. Don't let it turn into sin. You can be mad, but if it gets to the point to where it's going to turn into wrath, walk away. And if you do get wrathful, the Lord says, don't let the sun go down on it. Cool that thing off. Fix it. Put it away. Put away wrath. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 19, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Somebody that blows a stack all the time is going to get in a lot of trouble and suffer a lot of punishment, and need to put it away. James chapter 1 verse 20 says, for the wrath of man, not the anger, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wrath is destructive, where anger is not. This matter of getting angry, being sinful, is a bunch of hogwash. Anger is good in a lot of places. Lying, stealing, corrupt communication, bitterness, wrath. What else? Talking about Christians putting it away. Put away anger. Not only wrath, but anger. And the more time you spend and the more time you grow in the Word of God, the more God the Holy Ghost is going to teach you not to get upset so bad as easily as you did before. He's helped me a lot. A lot. I used to go off on just, like a switch, man. And the more people tried to calm me down, it would just make me worse and worse and worse. And I took pride in it. But I'm not that way anymore, praise the Lord. He's calmed my temper down quite a bit. And, in our family, we got a thing called the Compton temper. As if that was, and it's nothing to be proud of. And I don't like being tagged with that. So the Lord's changed me, and He changes you when you start putting it away. And I'm not saying I don't get mad, but I don't get mad near, angry, just having anger about any old thing. Just getting mad about anything, you know. I mean, everybody has a bad day. But just being angry and for no reason at all, you know, somebody does you wrong or somebody treats you wrong or lies to you or whatever it might be, you just automatically get mad. It says it's a violent passion of the mind excited by a real or supposed injury, usually accompanied with a propensity to take vengeance. Somebody trying to get back at you or something like that, or you trying to get back at them, and this anger thing, getting angry about things. The Lord teaches us to suffer for Him and to take it. He said it's better. He said, what praise is there in suffering for when you do wrong? He said, but if you suffer for when you do right, He said, that's praiseworthy. And God's pleased with that. Excuse me. But put away anger. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 24 says, make no friendship with an angry man. Not talking about somebody that has gotten angry. Talking about somebody that's an angry man. I mean, somebody that if he comes up in a conversation, everybody knows that he's always angry. Put it away. If you're angry all the time, something's wrong. Something's wrong. And it needs to be put away. And God the Holy Ghost didn't call us to be angry all the time. All the time. Make no friendship with an angry man or with a furious man. Thou shalt not go. The Lord tells us not even hang around with somebody that we know that's angry all the time. Why? Because it'll rub off on you. He said, be ye angry and sin not. Don't let it turn into wrath. But that's angry, righteous indignation. That's a credible reason to be mad. Not being angry all the time. So anger, put it away. What else? Clamor. I never used to know what that meant. So when I studied it, it's uttering or repeating loud words, making a great and continuous noise, particularly in complaint or importunate demands. Repeating loud words, just being loud and obnoxious. Clamor. The Lord, when He's describing an ungodly woman, He uses that. He says she's clamorous. And she's foolish. And she's loud. And uses loud words and makes noise all the time. You ever been around somebody that's clamorous? Just being loud. And the Lord tells a study to be quiet. It's pretty well the opposite of that, isn't it? Clamorous, uttering and repeating loud words, making a great and continuous noise. Clamorous. The writer, Paul, our brother Paul, told us that the Lord wants us to put it away. What else? Well, evil speaking. It was mentioned differently than corrupt communication. Let's see what it says. It's unjust or injurious. In other words, this is the kind of talk that is intended to injure. It's not just like filthy, dirty jokes and corrupt communication. This is evil speaking. It tends to injury and produces mischief. It's probably corrupt communication in a serious manner, gone one step more serious. Evil speaking. The Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 38, out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. And then in James chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And then the Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Evil speaking. And what else? Malice. We talked about malice. And the Bible says for us to put it away, Christian. Harboring ill will or enmity without provocation. Nobody's provoked you, but you just conjured this stuff up on your own. Proceeding from extreme hatred or ill will. 1 Peter 2:16 says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. 3 John chapter 1 verse 10 says, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. That's Brother John talking about somebody that's misbehaving and being malicious and causing damage to the church. And he said, if I come there, And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8 says, therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Amen. All right, we're going to stop right there. That's all I can take. Amen. But we got through it. You're seeing this stuff, ain't you? Yeah. Praise the Lord. We need to see this stuff. We need to know it. Put it away. So what have we talked about today? We've talked about sins that are the walk of the unsaved and sins which the Christian must put away, which include lying, stealing, corrupt communication, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice. You say, Christians do, brother, we do all that? Yeah, we do. Some of us control it better and some of us walk in the Spirit better than others, and that's why we're instructed to help one another, help each other, and to pray, and ask God to help us with these things. God, the Holy Ghost, is in us, and He teaches us to put these things away and withdraw from them. He's a good teacher. God is a good teacher. So let me give you these scriptures for today, and this will be our lesson for today. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 19. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2. Proverbs chapter 8, 5 and 10, 13. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 19 again. And Ezekiel 36, the chapter, Colossians chapter 3, and 2 Peter chapter 2. Now, those are the scriptures that we read today concerning sins that are the walk of the unsaved. These from here on that I'm going to give you are sins which the Christians must put away, the scriptures that we used. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through 32. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Acts chapter 8, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 19. James chapter 1, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 13. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 38. James chapter 3, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. And 3 John chapter 1, verse 10. And 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 is the last verse that we use today in our study. Okay, praise the Lord. Sins that are the walk of the unsaved and sins which Christians must put away. Our next lesson will begin with sins that are not to be once named among Christians. Yeah, sins that are not to be once named among Christians. We're going to learn about this stuff, ain't we? I've already learned more than I knew before, for sure. God bless you for studying God's Word, and God bless you for loving our Lord. We wait on the Lord and His return, and we study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you on the next one. I love you with Christ's love. Bye-bye.